Welcoming everyone to a very special night here. Rabbi Doctor is world famous, but this is one of the few times that he's actually speaking to a live audience. Most of the time he's on the OU. If you notice, he's by himself in a room, well, with 40,000 Sfarim behind him. That looks like it's going to topple on him, but many Sfarim behind him, and usually he's alone. And the other person's on the screen. This time we have him in a live event, which we're lucky enough to have. Obviously, he has a doctorate and he's a smicha. I think his main covet is that he's on the Zera Emes project. Not sure if everyone knows what that is, but he worked on the Agada. He wrote a few articles for the Agada, of course. Clearly, he has shurim online that have many of them for free. Some of them are behind the paywall. It's not a lot of money. It's like, I don't know, it's like $3 or something it's called. I don't know exactly what it is to hear some of the stuff behind the paywall. Some of the stuff behind the paywall, I think, is not for the public masses. You have to be a little appreciative of some of that stuff to hear it behind the paywall. You have to, like, buy into the controversies. As well, I would say, people told me that, how is he here? He's never in America, really. We said, I think anyone who's sitting here tonight would say he's probably the most famous Magid Shir from Beit Shemesh. Other people would say that someone else is more famous, but I think this type of crowd, obviously he would say he's the most famous person from Beit Shemesh. And we're very happy that he's here. He definitely will stick around for questions and answers. And you don't mind if someone's taping it? Just want to make sure.
If he doesn't send it out.
You can't send it out. Because for whatever reasons, it's fine. You'll hear why maybe soon. I'm doing it, but that's just for him, yeah. And without further ado, we're lucky enough to have Rabbi Doctor, and he'll take it away, you'll listen to him, and you can enjoy the food. There's a Zera Emes weekly that's there. Again, he's a major part of that project. I think without him, it wouldn't have happened. Possibly wouldn't have happened. Maybe so. Okay, enough of me. Okay. It's a clump there.
It's fine. Okay, so first to say thank you to Rabbi Hubner and the shul for pulling this off last minute. This is literally about 2 days of arranging back and forth, a lot of broken telephone, and therefore I apologize. The title, a lot of times, title can't always be exact. So the title is Fact and Fiction about the Vilna Gaon, which is most of the presentation. There will be a little bit about the Kol HaTorah, but it's not going to be just about the Kol HaTorah. For some people, that's more than enough. And what we can learn from the Vilna Gaon, which is the obvious point, the obvious point of this conversation. I appreciate everyone who came out, especially because of the snow. It's not easy to find parking. Ever since I'm in America for a little more than a week, it's mamish. I don't know how people can manage during the snowstorm. And okay, now. So number one is like this. The Vilna Gaon, Be'erach's dates are 1720 to 1797. And he's one of the most famous Gedolim of the past few hundred years for sure. But his life is shrouded in mystery. Many articles and books have been devoted about him over the years. Okay, now, personally, I also spent a lot of time researching him. And but I'll be very careful today not to to try to keep to the time.
Sing louder.
I should say it even louder. Yeah. To keep to the time, but keeping in mind that I will not be scraping the surface at all about him, even though we'll see a lot. As I said, a lot of his life is shrouded in mystery. Now, a few years ago, there was a series of academic conventions devoted to the Vilna Gaon, and I overheard two older professors talking to each other, like, what is there to even be mechadish about the Vilna Gaon? What's the purpose of all this? Whatever there is to say about the Vilna Gaon, we already figured out and said 20 years earlier, so it's pretty much a waste of time. And when I heard that, I was laughing because there's just so much about the Vilna Gaon that was not even touched on, and this Kaseder, more and more stuff coming out about him, and just even in the past few weeks, a monumental work on the Vilna Gaon came out dealing with his Kabbalah that was never done on such a systematic level from Rabbi Yosef Avivi. It's available in PDF for free online. And another work that came out that also relates to Litta, the Vilna Gaon a little bit also, but and his Talmidim and his Beis Medrash, was a work published also from manuscript from Rabbi Shua Munshine attacking Rabbi Dovid Kamenetsky, also available for free online. So there's plenty of materials that are, say they're coming out related to the Vilna Gaon. So part of the question, which today maybe to talk about somehow come out understanding a little bit, is trying to understand how he becomes famous, or what people heard of him. Now, what's interesting is that many years ago, Reb Zevin, in his famous book reviews that were originally published in newspapers, wrote a review about the Luach Eretz Yisrael of Reb Tukhachinsky. So today in Eretz Yisrael, most shuls, you'll find that they have a Luach Eretz Yisrael of Reb Tukhachinsky, and a lot of shuls already in the past few years have another Luach. Whatever the story behind why there's two Luachs floating around already, but that's not for today. But one of the things, the significance of the Luach Eretz Yisrael from when it began coming out in the early 1900s, so Reb Zevin says, this helped get Minig Agra out there. What does it mean? He says, in the Klois of the Gra is the only place in the world that they might have done Minhagim of the Gra, but not necessarily even all of them. But in Vilna, which was the city that was very proud that they had the Vilna Gaon, they definitely did not do, in most of the shuls, Vilna was a city with many shuls, they did not do Minhag Agra. What happens when they get to Eretz Yisrael, slowly, Minhag Agra starts becoming more and more, and who helped get it out there? Reb Tukhachinsky. So basically what Reb Zevin's pointing out is that well after 100 years after the Gra is Nifter, is when it starts slowly, the Minhag Agra. And today, we could talk to see, when you go into different shuls, how things that definitely 150 years ago was not accepted at all became the Minhagim of the Gra. So Rav Tukhachinsky's Luach, so to speak, very late on, helps get the Minhag Agra out there. But we'll perhaps return to this later on. Now, when you talk about the Gra, one of the two famous things that people, titles that people refer to him is, one is the Gain, and one is they refer to him as a chassid. So chassid does not mean, chassid just means he's very, very makpid on all different areas of halacha, mamish, as Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes a lot of times about him. And the term gain, what is the term gain? So today, everyone is called a gain. Even people that have no shaykhs to being anything, maybe not even a reb, get a gain. And there's a lot of controversy behind the titles found in Svarim and Chuvis, how should they have it, and today, if it's even up till today, if they should continue with these type of titles, but that's not the subject of today. But what does Gain mean? So there's a Sefer Tishbi, and there's many other sources that say this, that basically it means that they knew all the 60 Masechtas. So okay, is it 60 Masechtas, 63 Masechtas? But the point is, Gain is the gematria of 60. So the bottom line is, Gain comes from a tremendous knowledge of someone that knew all the 60 Masechtas. And we'll see a little bit about that right now. Now, so what do we know about the Vilna Gaon? So number one is that Rav Avram ben Agra, his son, he tells us about his knowledge that he knew. So he says like this, and this is found in the Shnois Aliyot on Zrom. It says he learned Mikra, Mishnah, Halachos, Agadois, Safra, Sefer Talmud Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tosefta's, Kol HaBrayos, Ajay Mishnasei Sedur BePiv, Al Kol Kaitz VeKaitz, Tliya Tliya Halacha Sturis, Al Seder Mikra, the Nasa Nafsha Kol Diktuk VeDiktuk MeMamari Razal, and then it talks about some other things, and then it talks about his tremendous knowledge in Kabbalah, the Zayir, the Sefer Tznusa, and many other works, Ma'ase Bereishis, Ma'ase Merkava. So here you see a description, okay, so you could say, okay, this is a son talking about his father, maybe it's not so authentic, but okay. Now, fast forward, we have another prominent person in Vilna at the time, Rabbi Avram Danzig. Rabbi Avram Danzig wrote what's known as one of the most classical works in the past 200 years, the Chayei Adam. So he gave at least two hespedim on the Vilna Gaon. In one of them he says like this, he's talking about what's considered a Talmud Chacham, someone that you ask in Masechtas Kalos, so you have to rip Kriya on him. Then he says, someone that knows all areas of Torah, Yerushalmi, Safra, Safri, Tosefta, Alacha, all different aspects of Kabbalah, such as the Vilna Gaon. So if you didn't rip Kriya on him yet, you should. And then he says that he left behind 70 manuscripts in Nigla and Ister. In another hesped that he gave, he says that the Goyim, he's saying Vilna, you get a lot of shva, our city Vilna, we get a lot of praise because we had this Yid, the Goyim, amongst us. Now he says, what does Goyim stand for? Not what I brought from the Sefer Tishbi, but the reason behind his name is Gimel, is Muram is on Tanakh. The Aleph is Elikus, which refers to different aspects, let's say, of Mais and Rakava and these type of things. Vav refers to Shas, and Nun is Shari Bina. Okay. And he says, the Vilna Gaon was expert in all areas, Baki B'kol Tanakh, B'limud, Elikus, B'shas, B'chachma Kabbalah, etc., etc. And he left behind 35 Chiburim and Chachmas Kabbalah. Yet again, in a third place, the Chai Adam returns to this to describe the Vilna Gaon again in his Sefer Zichru Tiris Maisha, which was a very, very popular work on Hilcha Shabbos, which was learned all over. And the Chai Adam again describes Barichos, similar types of things, his knowledge. And one of the points he says again is he used to learn Tirish Abiksav, Tirish Balpeh, but even Shayadu, Lidresh, Bechal Ice Vice, Vinukuday Sel, Kinir Michibur Valatayram, Vizeb Chelik Anigla. Then he goes on to describe what goes on in other aspects about it. So the point is that you see, again and again, someone like the Chai Adam, one of the people that become one of the Dayanim in Vilna after he retires from being a businessman, writing about, saying this in various Hespedim, and in his work, Zichru Tiris Maisha. So the first question is, are these words a myth or a fact? So of course, I would not doubt it, because these two people, both Rav Avram and Agra and the Chai Adam, are two heroes of mine, who I hope to, I'm working on works on each one of them. So I would not doubt it, but in case someone does, and you want to see evidence, let's say to this that the Chai Adam says, that there's 70 Chiburim in Ksaviyat, or 35 in Kabbalah, or such expertise in all these areas. So in recent years, a bibliography was published from Yeshaya Vinograd called Eitzer Sifrei Agra, which in this work, he collects these thousands of pratim, of details of published works that we have today. You could track them down in all areas of Torah, demonstrating that what Rav Avram ben Agra and the Chai Adam say is not an exaggeration. Now, one has to also understand when we're talking about the... And another thing is, there's a work, Tirus Agra, from Rav Dovid Kamenetsky, which also demonstrates this thing of this incredible knowledge in all areas of Torah. Now, so first over here is point number one is like this. To take out about the Vilna Gaon, one of the things that to take out tonight is that we're talking about his greatness. What's his greatness? His greatness is that he mamish was an expert in all areas of Torah. And even though not necessarily is every person able to learn all areas of Torah, but it's not always that you hear someone that they had knowledge in all these areas at once, one person. And more than that, one in each person, lefi his madrega, should try to learn. Let's say, for example, the people, when you learn Bavli, so there's much more to the story. If you learn the a parallel Yerushalmi, a lot of times it could shed incredible light on the sugya, especially if you go further. You learn the other Sifrei Chazal, Tesefta. And the Vilna Gaon, he was able to do that. And it just shows that Torah is just endless. Another thing that he was able to do was, he was able to show from every ice and ice in Chumash, including the Nakudis, that everything, what was going on behind it, and all the drushes of Chazal and everything. This was only in Nigla, but also in Ister. So this is one Nakuda to learn out from him, to hope that at least each person should try on his Madrega to learn this Nakuda out. Now, another thing is that you have to understand, Rav Avram, the Chai Adam was giving a hesped. He's not someone that just lived in, you could say, maybe, okay, he lived in Vilna, he didn't know much what's going on. Now, Chai Adam was a businessman who traveled all over for many, many years, even though he was based in Vilna. And he got to see all different things. And before he even came to Vilna, he was a Talmud Muvuk of the Neidim Yehuda. As I'm about to say, Neidim Yehuda was the Gadol Hadar of the time of the Vilna Gaon. So he saw the great people out there. He was in close contact with many of them. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, Mechon Yerushalayim published a work of the Chai Adam, of notes of things that he heard from different Gedolim, that of his Kufa, but he doesn't talk about any of them, even the Neid Yehuda, his Rebbe, who he has tremendous, tremendous respect for throughout his works, doesn't talk anywhere close to this type of language about, as he does with the Vilna Gaon. So, to me, it's a pretty authentic testimony that it's true. Okay? Now, But the general question is, which many ask, is how did the world hear about the Vilna Gaon? Now let me explain to give some understanding what I mean to ask. Today, there's such a thing called in 3 minutes between once someone could put up something on the news or WhatsApp or emails, everything, it could get all over the world literally in minutes. But in olden days, especially before newspapers, it took a very long time for information to travel from place to place. So a lot of times a gadol, even if he was popular in his city, it didn't necessarily mean that anyone outside his city heard of him or wherever he was. What were the ways that people did hear of people? So one way was if he was Rosh Hashiva, and he had a lot of Talmidim, so then Talmidim, when they would go, and they would go to other cities, sometimes they get jobs, they were close with the Rebbe. Another way was there was always halachic controversies that took place. And a lot of times the address of the different gedolim that were the key addresses for different things, whether it was a halacha controversy or a hashkafa controversy. So the people that became known, however they became known, is a different story. But the point is, they became known and their voices slowly got all to other places in Europe. But through oral traditions, through oral ways, it got out there. But when for example, the Noam Yehuda, as I mentioned, he's the Rebbe of the Chai Adam, and his years are almost the exact same parallel years as the Vilna Gaon. He was one of the main addresses, whether it was for halacha questions, he had a huge yeshiva, he was a rav of a very big city. So all these ways, it helped, and he not only that, he published some of his material in his lifetime already. And his tshuvas that he published already in his lifetime became very important texts in the world of halacha. But if you look at the Vilna Gaon, he had no yeshiva, he had no public position. He kamat didn't have any talmidim. We might discuss a drop about that soon. And he didn't publish anything in his lifetime. So the question is, how in the world does anyone hear about him? Okay, now, to go further with the mystery, but the fact is, as I'm about to show, they did hear of him. And one such piece of information to show this is as follows. At that time in Europe, there was a huge machlokes going on about chapter relating to Sabbateanism of Rabbi Yonasan Leibschitz. Now, this is way beyond the scope of this conversation, but there's one point in this thing that relates to us, and that is as follows. Rabbi Yonasan Leibschitz was trying to get the Vilna Gaon to side with him and in this discussion. So he writes to the Vilna Gaon a letter, "Could you join my side?" What does he write to him? He says like this. He says, "I heard about you that you are that you know Kol HaChachmos, and including Nistar. Now, how does he know about him? He never went to Vilna. So, how does Rabbi Yonasan Leibschitz hear about the Vilna Gaon? Now, you have to also understand this: the Vilna Gaon at this time is 35 years old. So, he says the following sentence: Asher noida tilasai bechol Poilin uBerlin velisa makayim sha'aver hachasid." So I'm asking you to look at what I wrote. Basically, it's like this. The Grot traveled all over Poland, Berlin, Lisa. So he's getting to Poland, Germany. So he's everywhere. And people heard about him. So somehow, when he went all over, they heard about him. And that's why, already at 35, the Rabbi Yonasan Leibschitz is asking him to get involved in this heavy controversy. Now, what's going on over here? So it seems that you could say is that everyone's well aware that one of the things about the Vilna Gaon is he was what's called a galus, and therefore when he was in his galus, he traveled. So now the stories always go that he was quiet, no one knew, and then somehow they would figure out who he was, and then the next day when they would look for him, he would disappear from the city. But according to this letter, at least from Yonasan Leibschitz, it sounds a little differently. Anointed to us, everyone heard about him. So I don't know exactly what it means and what exactly did they hear about him. But one thing we do know is that Rav Avraham ben Agra records stories that his father told him that happened to him in the Galus, while he was on Galus. Now, this relates to, just to say 2 points about this, is as follows. One is that when he went in this galus, this gives us very much insight into the Vilna Gaon, and that is as follows. Many people think that the Vilna Gaon was this person who sat in a room locked up, and he had no idea what was going on in the world, completely cut off, and all he did was sit and learn, and that's how he learned all the areas of Torah. When one learns the Gron Mishle, one could be, if one learns it very carefully, you'll see that it's a picture, it's someone that was traveled, he was all over. Now, in the olden days, if you were going on a Golus, it wasn't like, you know, you went by a car, he had Talmidim that locked him up in a wagon, and he went in a Golus all over Europe. He had to travel by foot. He didn't go with anyone. That was his point, at least when he was going. It seems they started to recognize him various ways. But the point is, he saw everything. He davened plenty of places without minyan. It takes time to go from place to place. And if according to this testimony of Rabbi Yair Snaibschitz, that he's in Poland, he's in Berlin, he's in Lisa, so it takes time to get from point A to point B. This traveling takes very long. And he observed everything. And a lot of the things he observed, he uses as mashalim to explain his points in his work on Mishlei. So the point is that I'm trying to make is he was someone that understood what's going on in the world. He observed. We don't even know how long this took place, but while he was traveling, he observed all different types of things, and that shows someone that knew, he understood people, and it wasn't like many people. There are people even today that try to explain why he said different things. It's because he was completely knew learning, but he didn't know what's going on. But it's clear that he definitely knew what's going on from the years and the time that he spent traveling. Now, why did he go on a Golus? So there's interesting thing brought down in a recent sefer that published called Shema Bani, in the name of the Chazon Ish, that it's not, when he was at home, of course he didn't eat, he was completely parish from the world in his house. He didn't eat much, he didn't sleep much, but the point is, when he would travel, he wasn't able to learn Torah b'menuchas ha-nefesh. And that was what the Gra felt, according to the Chazon Ish, that he needed to learn even in, to take that, at least that tsar, so to speak, that's what he was trying to accomplish, travel. Okay, but the point that one of the points I'm trying to bring out from all this is, somehow they heard about him when he's traveling, even though he didn't publish, even though he wasn't a Rosh Hashiva, etc., etc. Okay, fine. Now, referring to this, So I just mentioned Rabbi Avraham Nagra says that my father told me stories of during the Golus. Okay, now this hesped that he gave is called Saras Elio. It's an incredible hesped where he talks about his father. Now, one interesting piece of information that he talks about in this work is as follows, which is also something that's not so well known. He says that. And even in that period of time, it wasn't so well known because even though he gave it as an oral hesped, but it was only published like 80 years after the Gra was niftar. He says like this, that I met, there was a Talmud Chacham in a different city. His name was Reb Yaakov. He had many daughters, 8 or more. And he reached out to my father to help him. And my father raised money to marry off all his daughters. And he does not even know if there was any connection between his father and this person. Another person, he talks about in the city of Slutsk, someone else reached out to him and he helped him. And then he says, there were cities, that was a common thing in those days, fires, they would reach out to him to help raise funds, and he would help. Similarly, Pidyon Shvuyim, Pidyon Shvuyim he was Isaac in. So now, what's the point over here? Rav Ramin Agra is trying, a lot of times, similar to what I just mentioned earlier, is that the Vilna Gaon was not someone that was aware of what was going on around him, so to speak, and stuff like that. What comes out from this testimony of Rabbi Avraham ben Agra is that he was. Now, it's interesting like this, that one of the key works that came out about the Vilna Gaon, which some actually claim is how the Gra became so famous, was known as the Aliyas Elio, which is a beautiful work that has a lot of material about the Vilna Gaon. Now, he never met the Vilna Gaon, the author, but he spoke to people that did, and he collected all types of information about the Vilna Gaon. Now, what happens is, and at the time, there were people that were very against it for different reasons. It seems one reason was that the impression was that he was mufka, he didn't know what was going on. So when you read the passage in Rabbi Avraham ben Agra, you see a whole different aspect of the Vilna Gaon, that he was more in touch with what's going on. And this brings us to the next nekuda, and that is as follows. One of the things that I mentioned does he have Talmidim? So the answer, did he have a yeshiva formally? So as far, even though people talk a lot about that he had a yeshiva of some sort, we don't really know much about it if he did, and we don't even really know who these Talmidim are, but we'll discuss one or two of them today. One, everyone knows, is a Yid, Reb Chaim Volozhiner. So it's interesting is, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, he claims he's not a Talmud of the Gra. But famous in one of the letters when Valozhin was opened, which some people say, oh, the whole reason why it was opened was because the Vilna Gaon told him to open it, but we're not going to go into all that. But the bottom line is that Reb Chaim Valozhiner was a Talmud of the Gra, as I'm going to demonstrate. Now, interestingly enough, is that one of the questions I mentioned already is, how does anyone hear about the Vilna Gaon? So what's interesting is, in the name of Reb Chaim Valozhiner, it said that the Gra said on the Shargas Aryeh that he's Marba Bepilpul, whatever Pilpul means. And then he said, and then it said that the Shargas Aryeh said on the Gra that he's Marba Bepashtos, he goes much more with Pashup Shat. So the question is, understand, if the Gra is not famous, how does the Shargas Aryeh know about the Gra? So the answer is that there was Yidur Chaim Valozhiner. Chaim Valozhiner was the Talmud of both of them. So he told the Shargas Aryeh about the Gra, and he told the Gra about the Shargas Aryeh, and that's how come this testimony is actually an authentic sources, but I'm saying what my point is that the way this testimony happened is because the Gra heard about the Shargas Aryeh and the Shargas Aryeh heard about the Gra through Chaim Valozhiner. So bottom line is that even though he claims he wasn't a Talmud, he was.
Now, Talmud, had he find, what he was, wanted to find as a Talmud to see who was a Talmud.
So now, what does a Talmud mean? So a lot of times, and that goes back to the question I'm asking also is, is there a yeshiva of the Gra? Does he have a yeshiva? Does he formally give shir? So there is some indication that he gave some type of shir, but we have no idea. It could be there was only one person in the shir. But my claim is that that Reb Chaim Valozhiner is a Talmud, and not only is he a Talmud, they had real intense conversations. And to illustrate it is like this. The way the impression one might get from when you're talking about Reb Chaim Valozhiner and his relationship from the Gra, from different stories that people say, is like this. That he would prepare a list of questions that he would ask him. Then he would travel to the Vilna Gaon, whatever it was, stay there a day or two. He would quickly ask him his questions, you know, sort of like a yes-no type of thing, and then he would leave. But there was no real connection, and maybe that could even explain why Reb Chaim Valozhiner later on said, after he was Nifter, I'm not a Talmud of the Gra. Now, and for example, people even pick to picture in their minds, like sometimes people that call themselves Talmidim of Rebbe Yashiv. So I witnessed myself, there were different people, they had a Seder to ask questions at specific times. One of the people, his Seder to ask Rebbe Yashiv questions was when Gavra Lagavra during the Aliyah on Shabbos. And basically, there wasn't a real conversation. He had his specific list of questions that he got. Rebbe Yashiv gave him a 3-second answer. There was no real conversation. So the people picture, similarly type of thing, is that Reb Chaim Valozhiner sat, he created his list of over the year. He would come in and talk to the Gra very quickly, and that's how he would leave. But there was no real maso matan back and forth. Now, what's interesting is like this. Reb Chaim Valozhiner wrote, after the Gra was Nifter, in various Svarim, where basically he became, him and Reb Avram, the son that I keep on mentioning, they became the the names that were used to authenticate, or when different Svarim were coming out from Reb Avram and Agra, they would always go to Reb Chaim Valozhiner, the not Talmud of the Gra, and he would write great things about the Vilna Gaon. And each time, in each of the Svarim that he wrote, they got longer and longer. The last one that he wrote was a Hagdamah to the Safra Ditznusa of the Gra in 1820. And in there, he wrote a long Hagdamah where he talks about the Vilna Gaon. And the way he talks, different people, there's a lot of different things that are going on in this Hagdamah, but the point that I would like to make is like this. When you read this Hagdamah, you could see that the conversations were much more than a yes-no, and there was a relationship going on there. And just to give you a few examples. Number one is like this. At one point in the course of the conversation, the Gra told him that I chazered many times the Rei Mehemna until he became very familiar with it. Not how much could you read into that, but then at one point they're talking about davening. So he says, the Gra told him the following story. He says like this, that he was davening, and he had been working very hard on a piece in the Zohar, and he couldn't come up with pshat. It was Rosh Chodesh davening, and he was davening Shachris, and all of a sudden, a pshat came up in his mind to understand the Zohar, 7 ways how to understand the Zohar. What's he going to do? He's in the middle of davening. So he stops, he pauses to gather his thoughts, and the question is it's a hefsek or not? And then he continues davening. He finishes davening, and he sees he forgot the whole thing. The Gra tells him, I was very upset, and it's not coming back to me. The Pshat, same thing happens, Musaf, and it comes into his head. Then he decides, you know what? I'm not going to organize my thoughts. He does not. And then basically, when he finishes davening, all the seven Mahalchim and the desire come back to him. So I've heard from more than one person say, you know, during Shemoneh Esrei is the greatest time for a rabbi preparing the speech. A lot of times things come together at that time, sadly, and they definitely are not, they have said, they're not on the Madrega of the Gra to go ahead and purposely forget what they did. But he's saying specifically that that's what he did. This is the Vilna Gaon is telling Reb Chaim Volozhin. This is someone, you see some type of relationship. Now, furthermore, you go further on, he's talking about a piece in Sefer Yetzirah. They're having a conversation about it, and the Gra tells him, when I was young, I held a certain thing about it. And so he says, the Girsa is like the Arizal over here, but there's some type of mistake. So then Reb Chaim Volozhin says, oh, so now according to this, you will be able to create a Goylem. So he says, yeah. The Emes Pamachas, Hitkalti Levroi Goylem. I start to create a Goylem. And he says, then he stopped. And then he says, how old were you? Reb Chaim Volozhin asks him, how old are you? He says, it was before I was 13. This is in the Hagdama of the Sefer Yetzirah. This is not the Gra sharing this type of information. The way I read it, again, everyone's able to read it differently. There was a real relationship between them. Going further, a different thing is, the Gra told them, Pa'amim Rabbis, that what happened, Magidim from Shamayim wanted to offer to teach him Kabbalah. And he refused them. He refused to listen to them. Another time is that he said, by the way, go tell your brother, Reb Zalman, one of the other known few Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, that he's going to get, a Maggid's going to want to come to tell him, and I told him he should not listen to the Maggid. So these are, to me, these type of statements and some other things in here are statements of someone that there's a real relationship going on, not just a random Talmud. Now, okay, so now this gets to another Nakuda with Reb Chaim Volozhiner and tying to the Vilna Gaon. So everyone always assumes when you talk about Litta and the Vilna Gaon and Reb Chaim Volozhiner, it's all about learning. So I just mentioned is that from Avraham ben Agra, he refers specifically, he talks plenty in the Hesped about his father learning nonstop and all the years of Torah, but he also mentions specifically aspects of Chesed that he did. Do we find any of this with Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who was the founder of Rosh Hashiva, Yeshivas Volozhin, and you know that was what Litto became very famous for. So it's interesting like this. The Nefesh HaChayim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner doesn't publish anything in his lifetime. On his deathbed, he instructs his son, I want you to publish my Nefesh HaChayim. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner gave shiurim for many years. He had a lot of chedushim, and not only that, he was one of the biggest paiskim of the time. He had many, many tshuvas. He didn't concern himself so much, oh, you should make sure to publish my shiurim, or that you should publish my shiurim, my shiurim or my tshuvas. So at the time when I heard about, when I read this a lot of times, and in conversations with different people, I was less shocked. But what was he concerned? The legacy that he was concerned that should be left behind was the Nefesh HaChayim. Okay. Now Nefesh HaChayim is talking about other aspects, not only, not Chuvas and not Shiur. Fine. Now, in the so his son, Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhin, does not listen to his father and he does not publish it right away. Now, to be fair, the reason was is because Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhin took over his father's position. Not only was Rosh Hashiva, he was very involved. He was the go-to gadol to involve with all the tsaros that Klal Yisrael had, dealing with the government back and forth. He had no time to deal with anything. And in those days, it was very, very hard to publish a sefer. But then, two different times he lost children and he made a cheshbon nefesh, it must be that he didn't publish my father's work, Nefesh HaChayim, and he goes ahead and publishes it. Fine. Now, then he writes in this Hagdama where he describes what I just said and he talks about other fascinating things about his father. He says like this, what was my father's legacy, so to speak? So he'll say, okay, you should learn Kol Torah Kula the whole day or lock yourself up in a room the way the world. No, not at all. It says like this, Kol Haya Dabrei Elai Tamin. That a person is created for others, to help others, whatever is in his strength to do. For example, my Rav, Rabbi Chaim Zev Malinowitz, he always would quote this passage from Reb Chaim V'Elazar. Now, all of a sudden, when you see this passage, you're seeing a whole different nekuda in Reb Chaim V'Elazar. I'm tying it to this this aspect of the Vilna Gaon, that even though Yitaka learned Yom V'Laila, he slept maybe 2 hours, according to the very live accounts of people that saw, but it was an important aspect also was to do chesed. And just to show one other marmakim relating to this is, there was another yid from V'Elazar. His name was Reb Martcha Gimpel Yaffe. Reb Martcha Gimpel Yaffe was a Talmud Muvuk of Reb Yitzchak V'Elazar. And he said this Yisoid also over, not from the Nefesh HaChaim, but he said this Yisoid that Reb Yitzchak V'Elazar would say it over, that this is an important point, which actually explains why we Taka do not have a lot of material from Reb Yitzchak V'Elazar written down, because he was busy dealing with helping Klal Yisrael. There was no one else to deal with what he could do, so he had to deal with the government and different types of things like that, because he was following this legacy of his father. But interestingly enough, as Remarkable Gimpel Yaffe says, who does he picture in his tkufa that Mamish did this? The Chassam Sofer. And that's a fascinating thing, because here we have a Litvish Gadol talking about the Chassam Sofer. We see here that many Litvaks did have a tremendous chavivas to the Chassam Sofer, which is his own Bazundir Shmuz. But the point is that they're looking at not only the Torah aspect, also this aspect of chesed, etc., etc. And this, interestingly enough, there are many marmakayrus in Litvish makayrus concerning about this, but we're not going to go into that. But the bottom line is, so he has this Talmud Reb Chaim V'Elazar, and this is another fact fiction, another nekuda that I'm trying to bring out in the Vilna Gaon. And then just one other aspect is, so relating to the how the fame gets out there, it will tie back to the Chayyadim. So I quoted that the Chayyadim gives these Hespedim. So one of the questions, again, that I mentioned already earlier, is how does the Gra become so famous? Now, he didn't publish anything. So my claim is that if you ask someone, not a regular person, what's the most famous Vilna Gaon you heard? So my claim is the most famous Vilna Gaon one heard is that not to have flowers on Shavuos. That's my thing. I really needed to take a poll about it, but I did not yet. But that's what I suspect. Because the Kabbalah aspects and all these type of things is above the pay grade of most people, at least myself. But in Halacha, where does this thing of flowers and Shavuos come? Where's the earliest source, actually? So some people say, oh, Maaseh Rav was published in the 1830s. It might not even be in the first Maaseh Rav for different aspects. It's in the Chayyadim. And going through the Chayyadim, one will see the Gra is Keseder mentioned. Not only in his Akdam to Zichron Tayus Moshe, Keseder in the Chayyadim, he quotes things that he saw himself by the Gra. Now, so what? How does that help? The Chayyadim Sefer was a best-selling Sefer in his lifetime, and afterwards it was published maybe over 100 Maduras. All over Europe it was learned, not only in the Litvish areas, even in Hungary, as a matter of fact. We now know from a letter that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, one of his main sources, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch being the Sefer LaMashal in Hungary, one of his main sources was the Chayyadim and others. So there was what was going on in Europe all the time was they didn't have Daf Yomi like they have today. They had what's called Chaburas Chayyadim everywhere. So hearing about it and seeing about it, I feel that helped get his name out there, but obviously there's much more to the story. Okay, now, as time is short, so we... being that also the title deals with that, I have to speak about the Kol Torah, so just to speak a little bit about that too. So, one of the things that Zagra gets there was at least planning on going to Eretz Yisrael, and we even have a letter that he supposedly wrote, known as Igros Zagra, to his family, fascinating thing, many different chiburim are have been published in recent years to explain all different things there and what we learn from there. There's certain shocking things there. Shocking for today, but not for those days. Lamash will make sure to hit the kids, which is not so shocking because if the Gra says it's also in Mishlei, and in those days there's plenty of sources, but today certain people, like, when they see it, it doesn't really mean it, because we have to fix it up for our periods of time. Okay, but we see, bottom line is that he was at least attempting and planning and going to Eretz Yisrael. Now, like everything else, I said, it's a lot of shroud and mystery. When this took place, unclear. Why this took place, also unclear. There's all different possibilities and theories of that. Okay. Fast forward many years later, in the... there's Kiyodua, there's Talmidei HaGra that go in the late 1700s that go, in the early 1800s, and all different, a lot of discussion about the Talmidei Agra, how many people, who these people were. Famous is there's a Yidra Yisrael Shklover, there's a Yidra Mendel Shklover. Now, and they're considered by many as being Talmidei Agra, and so automatically it's assumed, okay, that the Talmidei Agra are following what they got from their Rebbe, the Gra, and the Gra was the one who encouraged even a bunch of people to go. Now, one thing we know, Lamashal, is the Chayyadam himself intended to go. He writes this in his Akdama to a Sefer that he wrote, which was Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, but he never ended up going. Why, I don't know, but he didn't end up going, but he actually does not tie it to the Vilna Gaon. And Pashat, there was an need to go to Eretz Yisrael, always. Just the reason why people didn't go is it was very hard to go. The traveling alone was a problem, and when you would be there, it was very hard to make a parnasa. So that's why many people over the generations didn't go. But it was always a dream for many to go, and such as the Gra, as a Yachid, wanted to go, and then Talmidim went. Now, how many Talmidim went as a massive movement? It wasn't a massive movement. And as recently pointed out by one of the new special Chaykrim of from Chaykrim of the Vilna Gaon, Yid Reb Yaakov Trivitz in Eretz Yisrael, he shows that, Lamashal, even if you show me, even though Rabbi Yisrael Shklover definitely is the leader of the Kehila, him and Mendel Shklover, Rabbi Yisrael Shklover is not really a Talmud of the Gra. He's a giant chassid of the Gra. He puts out the works of the Gra. But he actually, which is not so well known, he was only by the Gra the last 6 months of his life. He was Meshamish the Gra. He never says over a psak from the Gra that he heard from the Gra. He had access to the Ksavim, he publishes the Ksavim, but he's not a person that sat and learned by the Gra, and as I said, not too many people really did. Now, but he leads, he's one of the leaders of the Kehila, of the what's called, becomes the, known as the Talmidei Agra in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, say it. Now, at a certain point in time, all of a sudden pops up a manuscript called the Kol HaTayar. I believe it comes to print first time in 1948 in Yerushalayim. From then on, there's been a crazy conversation amongst all types of people. Is this the Vilna Gaon? Does this reflect Shitas of the Vilna Gaon or not? Is it a Ziyuf? Is it not a Ziyuf? And a lot of ink and a lot of discussion, arguments, like all arguments got very heated about it always. People claiming it's a Ziyuf, other people saying, no, it really is the Gra, it's not the Gra. And now, one thing is clear is that it's definitely not written by the Gra. The point was, it was someone from one of the Shklovers from the family of the Shklovs that had to supposedly do with the Gra, and he was saying over all different things in the Gra. Now, in this work, it deals with aspects of Ikfas of the Meshicha, Meshich ben Yosef, Eschal to the Gula, all types of words that are way above my pay grade, but heavy Kabbalah. And from these things that are very strangely written in the work, which you could buy in the store, called Kol HaTayar, you could even buy it in English, there's a few different editions. A whole world of different things came up, Mashal, the Datilumi world, very, very important, and that they claim all different aspects that it's all, so to speak, just for lack of a better word, blaming it on the Vilna Gaon. In the academic world, there's been for at least 50 years fighting between different academics. Some take it very seriously, others don't. Now, just back to that I mentioned earlier in the beginning, there was a convention that took place a few years ago. So right before the convention, there was a Yid, his name is Rabbi Yosef Avivi, and he wrote this massive article, approximately 180 pages, that was published in a journal that just came out at that time called Mechilta, Volume 1. And in this journal, he went ahead and wrote a systematic documentation showing that the Kol HaTayar is 100% not authentic, and even showing where what it was coming from and what was going on in that. Now, but that was in the beginning of Corona. It was right before, this was right before the convention. Just to show you how hot the topic is that at this academic convention, at least 2-3 speakers, right away, it was published within the week, they devoted their speech to saying how this Aviv doesn't know what he's talking about. And that, of course, it's real. Now, why? Because this is, as I said, a lot of academics and a lot of the Datilumi world, especially, they feel that this work has to be real. Now, after he published the article, there were thousands of hits and discussions about it in various forums. And until recently, one had to buy the journal. It was not sent out via PDF, but literally less than a month ago, he released it as a PDF so one could read this article. Now, what does he show in this article? Basically, he shows that it has nothing to do with Kabbalah Sagra. Now, I have to understand, to give the credentials of this person. One is he's a person from the Dati Lumi world. He's a Frum Shai Matar Mitzvah, an amazing person. Personally, he's a good friend of mine, so I might be biased. He's a Yid who spent learning Kabbalah for many, many years. And the past eight years, he immersed himself, Yom Velayla, in the Kabbalah Sagra. He put out three massive volumes. Previously, before that, he published a massive three-volume work on the Arizal's Kabbalah, which he worked on for many years. He published works on the Ramchal's Kabbalah, or Rav Kook's Kabbalah. He's an expert in Kabbalah. And over the years, he noticed that a lot of these things, it just is not found in any of the real Svarim of the Gra. We know what's the real Svarim of the Gra, the real things. And he basically was able to show that what happened, and it was basically a political fight between two families, the Rivlin family and the Solomon family. Each one, and he documents this mamish every single step of the way. I'll be more than happy to share the PDF of this article. You could email me at eliezerbrut@gmail.com. And this Yosef Aviv's article
is in the journal Mechilta.
It's called Mechilta. More than happy to share it with you. And basically, he systematically shows that there was a fight between the Rivlin family and the Solomon family, and each one was trying to show that they were the ones who were responsible for building up Eretz Yisrael. And that's what was going on. Now, there's all different aspects about it, just to be messiah with two points. Number one is recently, in a recent Torah journal called Shinina, that's not available online, so I cannot share this. You only could get, I think at this point you still only can buy it. They published a fascinating letter with Rav Shlomo Fisher on this topic. Now, I have a friend who's a Tal Dasar and Chassid who learned by Rav Shlomo Fisher. And Rav Shlomo Fisher, Kiyadua, was Rashiva in Itri, he was Rashiva in other places, he gave Shirim all over, and he looked and dressed like a Meisharim Yid, and this Tal Dasar and Chassid, a friend of mine, he was a Talmud of Rav Shlomo Fisher before the Six-Day War. After the Six-Day War, Rav Shlomo Fisher became much more believed, so to speak, in that Nisim happened in the Six-Day War, etc., etc. So in this, Tal Dasar and friend of mine said, yeah, he's a Satmar also, something got to him. Let me say he still talks about Rav Shlomo Fisher with Kavod, but you know, something chapsuk to him that he got some aspects. So for him, the Kol HaTorah would be a very good sefer. So he was fascinated to understand if it's authentic or not. Now, to also understand something about Rav Shlomo Fisher, he's an expert Nifla in Kabbalah, and especially the Gra. He spent years working on aspects of the Gra in Nigla, published them. There's even, and also Kabbalah, there's a legend that his beard turned white after he worked on a certain project relating to the Kabbalah Sagra when he was young, in his 40s. But anyway, so he has a discussion with a brother of his about it, and he spent a lot of time on it, looking into it, and he says, Shakol Sheker Vaziv Gadol, in this letter. But then, it's interesting, Menachem Kasher publishes in Atkufa Gdoila most of this Kol Tayer, and he says that Rabbi Tzal Landau brought me what Menachem Kasher says, and he wanted, and Rabbi Tzal Landau, it sounds like, wanted to come put out a contras against the Kol Tayer. But then he says a shock, interesting line, that I agree with Menachem Kasher that he wrote the Sefer about against the Satmar Rebbe. Rabbi Shlomo Fisher says, Shadavar Gadol Asa Bazeh, but that he talks about the Tkufa Gdoila, that's a ziv. That's what he says. Now, he was writing this letter to a fellow, there's another letter of another Mekubal, Yushalayim, also a big expert in the Gra stuff, who is not sure what it is. But again, there's a lot of discussion about it, and time is finished. So I felt that because the title says we have to talk, that I'm going to talk a little bit about it, and maybe people came out in the cold just to hear a little bit about that, so I have to share something about that. But that's all for today.
So again, he has, if you search Rabbi Brut, he's on the OU.org website. Many, I don't know, 50, 60 already shurim online.
More?
Over 100 already. That's free. Then he has some stuff behind a paywall. If you know, you could reach out to my email, Eliezer Brut. I'm not going to spell that, but you can figure out how to spell it. He'll give it to you. He almost always responds to emails, except for me. But for most people, I think he's very quick to respond to any request. He gives out the PDFs. He has an email that goes out before every Yom Tov. I'm not sure if anyone here knows about it. Fascinating email. It goes to a couple thousand people for sure. Many Rabbanim that I know about are stealing some of that material. He sends out PDFs of many good articles that comes out before. And I say Yom Tov, I'm stretching, because it's Purim, it's Chanukah, it's Sukkot, and Yom Kippur, and Rosh Hashanah. It's the rest, not to, and then he also has an email that he sends out for the latest academics forum that come out. I'm not sure if it's so easy to get onto that. Is that easy to get onto? That's not so, okay, I'm not announcing that. That you have to speak to him directly. And he is definitely available for questions. I think we'll give it a few minutes until everyone gets bored, and then we'll daven Ma'ariv. But I want to thank everyone for coming out here. It's not easy in this weather. And as expected, we hopefully, because if Mashiach doesn't come, we'll bring out Rabbi Dr. Eliezer, the next time he's in America, he will come with more of a head start. This all happened the last 48 hours. I want to thank those behind the paywall of the shul who organized this, because it was a lot of phone calls back and forth to try to work this out. It wasn't that easy, and it did work out fine. The food was fine, enough cheers, and I think everyone was happy. A gute Nacht.